Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 30 of the Thistle Rugby Podcast, the only rugby podcast that cares about Scottish rugby. How are you guys doing? Thanks for joining us, and I am with Matt. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Had a really fun weekend, doing a bit of grassroots scouting down at Last Wade, watching the Lovely. Hawks against Jed. Playoff, pretty one-sided in the end, just the 46-0, but yeah, it was just such a golfing class, but no, it was a great day. Did a good little bar at the club. It was nice.
You say there was a couple of red cards.
There was one red card and three other players were sin-binned for Jed. They conceded 13 penalties in the first half. They just lost their minds. They had nothing. I felt quite bad for them. They had nothing.
Bloody hell. Alan, you're here as well. How are you doing, mate? How's the DIY?
It's all right. I've got a physio appointment at 7 a.m. tomorrow because I sprained my back while painting the ceiling. So,
well, one of our fans wasn't too impressed with you on iTunes, leaving us a review 5 stars, which you guys can do. It really helps us out. This was Bookie _ 16 describes you as too posh to screwdriver. And the review is Scottish rugby chat from blokes so posh they pay 35 quid to get their fridge door swapped around. But great chat, guests, and some good inside knowledge. So,
mate, that's a bargain. 35 quid.
Well, there you go. The guys from Curry's came round, dropped off the fridge, and didn't even screw the fridge door off and switch it. So now we're stuck with it on the wrong side. And I had a look at doing it myself and failed miserably. So,
well, Bookie _16, if you want to update your review and let Alan know how to do that, that would be really useful. Thanks a lot for joining us, guys. Chatting to us all week on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod and on Instagram, Thistle _rugby_pod. We are yet to receive any emails on our new email initiative. Obviously, you don't want to spend that much time chatting to us. So,
what are you expecting?
I'm expecting people to write in with
like gossip, just the news, admiration, just like you guys are sweet.
I think it's That'd good. Nice. Yeah. So again, that is
we're now just going to get a torrent of abuse from like.
Well, I'd accept it.
Quite right. That'd be quite funny.
thistlerugby@gmail.com. Cool. So today's episode, really good one. We're going to have a canter through the recent news, including some re-signings and some departures at Glasgow Warriors. And then three Thistley issues, as always. Issue number one, should Edinburgh have beaten Munster? Issue number two, what is next for the Super Six? That includes an interview with Glasgow Hawks chairman Kenny Hamilton. And issue number three, who the hell is James Lang? And that is going to be our look at the Scotland summer squad, which Gregor Townsend announced today. Sound good? Should we get into it?
And so James Lang plays in England, was in the Welsh Academy, and is now getting a cap for Scotland.
He was also made in Chelsea.
Oh, really?
Was he?
No, Jamie Lang. Not
Oh, for you don't get the joke.
As if we didn't alienate our fans enough with the fridge.
Jamie Lang plays rugby too, fair. Don't remember the video.
Let's shut up, man.
Brad Thorne.
We are moving swiftly on from that. To, how about this? A man who I think we could say we weren't that excited when he re-signed for Glasgow last year, but Rui Jackson has signed on for another year at Glasgow. What a turnaround. The renaissance is real. How do you guys feel about that?
Do you feel like last summer they kind of were like, oh, I don't know if he's that good, but we'll sign him for a year.
Yeah.
And he's actually turned out pretty good. But they don't trust that that's going to last longer than another year. So they're like, we can only give you year-by-year contracts.
It seems to be a thing at Glasgow, though. Nobody seems to be getting long-term extensions.
Yeah, I know that. It's true.
I think it's good business. Matt, any thoughts?
No, I agree. I think he's... Is he in the Scotland squad? He is.
Yes.
Oh, yes. but even so, he seems to have been in squads but not really played. So he's a pretty good value player to have around. And the fact that the amount of minutes he's played this season for Glasgow has been pretty ridiculous.
And I guess one of the things about Rui Jackson, obviously, is he can still sort of cover 10 or 15. But in that Scotland squad, because they've got Pete Horn, Adam Hastings and James Lang, he's probably only being brought as a 15 option.
Yeah.
You would think. And as Hogg's not really... They've said Hogg's not going to play get much game time. It looks like he's probably back up for Kinghorn.
I think in the official Scotland announcement, they said that Lang and Hastings were the only two official 10s being brought as 10s. Obviously, Pete Horn can cover a lot there and Jackson as well, but it seems to be a bit of a shootout between those two.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Moving on. Somebody leaving Scottish rugby, Tim Visser, has decided to retire from international. He's been out of the fold. I think he was invited into maybe one or two Six Nations training camps this year, but he's not really been in the fold since last year and he's retired from Scotland. What do you think?
I think, hearing that Strauss maybe has fallen out of favour with Townsend because he doesn't have quite the work rate that he wants, I think that you could probably level the same accusations at Tim Visser. Like, really good finisher.
Yeah.
And we'll get on the end of stuff and we'll always score you tries, but maybe in terms of his like off the ball work, ability to come through the centres or anything and go looking for work, he's not as good as maybe definitely a Seymour, at least when he's on form.
I'm sure I heard a story about Tim Visser that he had to do his Scotland initiation twice because he didn't turn up until his sort of like 20th cap or something like that.
It was against Wales last year, wasn't it?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, really? Yeah, no, he had to sing his initiation song again because it was the first time he turned up for Scotland. Maybe we're just making that up.
I don't think I'm making that. I've definitely been told that.
It's quite brutal as well.
It is quite savage.
But you do make a good point. I think if you compare him to Lee Jones, Tim Visser is a much more natural finisher than Lee Jones. But in terms of an all-round game and work rate, Lee Jones does bring a lot more to the team. And I think you're probably right. I think he just doesn't fit that kind of full Tooney game plan.
Yeah.
That's probably why he's maybe just... What's the phrase? Committing suicide before he's murdered. I don't know.
I've never heard that phrase before, but...
Have you just made something up? Jumping before he's pushed.
Yes, that's it.
I mean, you just made it so much more dark.
All right. I mean, technically, it is the same.
Wow, this has been a really strong start, right, lads. Right, come on, right. Let's pick up from here. Three lads also leaving Glasgow. Fan favourite Richie Vernon, Vanessa, and Leo Sarto have all been announced they're leaving the club at the end of the year. Any thoughts?
I mean, Vanessa has
been bad.
Dog signing, unfortunately. Seeing him trot out for Marne, trot is the right word, he is in such bad nick.
Really?
That you think, oh my, oh, he doesn't, he looks like a sort of 40-year-old Islander who's been shipped in, to see out his last season or something on a bit of wedge. So I'm not surprised to see that go. Vernon, he's been injured for so long, it's a shame. And then Sarto, I wonder if it's just a sort of a cost-benefit analysis in terms of how much they're paying him and how much he's actually available in the season, and he's quite injury prone as well.
Yeah.
So I'm not, I don't have any huge complaints about it, but Sarto has been really good for Glasgow, so it's a shame.
Richie Vernon's played back row and centre for Scotland.
Yeah.
Is there any other international player who's generally not had to just move because of an injury, but actually has been picked to start.
That Boutier guy for La Rochelle.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, he is like a complete...
Yeah, he's a freak.
He's also quite different to Richie Vernon.
Yes. But, yeah, I think it's... I mean, Richie Vernon had a pretty good run around sort of... kind of like 08, 2011 time.
Started the final that they won.
Exactly. For Glasgow.
For Glasgow, yeah, the Santos.
That was a quiz question once.
There you go.
I don't remember that, mate.
Do not remember my quizzes.
Best of luck to them. Also, the Scotland under 20, Brian Redpath named his first Scotland under 20 squad for the upcoming World Cup in Italy or France?
France.
It's in France. Any thoughts on that, Matt? I can see it up on your screen.
I think it's not too dissimilar to the squad that didn't actually do that well in the Six Nations, but...
They lose every game.
They beat England.
Oh, yeah.
So they didn't do that well, but they beat England. I think the main interesting thing is there are quite a few Exiles guys, including this guy Sam Grahamslaw, who plays for the Tigers and has been capped already for England under-20s,
Under-18s. He played for England under-18s.
But there's quite a few guys like that, and supposedly... they are not being released by the Premiership clubs until 5 days before the tournament.
That's
so Redpath has taken all of them, the squad, to a, I can't remember the name of it, army camp somewhere for sort of team bonding and stuff. But
yeah.
He's missing quite a few players.
So anyone linked to an English Premiership side?
Yeah, and I think there's five of them in the squad who are obviously just part of the team's academies. But yeah, it's quite interesting. A bit of a, you know, middle finger up to Scottish rugby. Possibly from the clubs.
I suppose we were maybe asking for it by launching the Scottish qualified program in England.
Well, yeah, there's that angle to it as well, which is quite interesting.
Has the guy we've got in Japan picked out any players from Japanese schools?
Anything?
Sam Yawayawa potentially sounds Japanese, but I watched him play at the weekend, and he's definitely not Japanese.
He's been around for a while.
So
I'd like to know what the Japanese scout is earning, and I would like his job.
Oh my god, it'd be so good.
How good is that? And obviously, the final piece of big news for this week was the Scotland squad announcement for the summer, which we're going to speak about later. So hang around for that. It'll be after Alan's quiz when you all usually stop listening. But come on, persevere through, and we'll talk about the summer squad announcement. But why don't we start at Edinburgh versus Munster on Saturday? Edinburgh going down and out for the season, 20 points to 16. I'm going to come to you first, Alan, with the question: should Edinburgh have beaten Munster?
Yes, I think they absolutely should have. They just were sort of a little bit away from scoring any tries in the first half, and were genuinely making meters with quite a lot of ease. So Blair Kinghorn again just racked up sort of triple digits in meters run. And
yeah,
if you look at sort of the full game in terms of sort of possession, defenders beaten, I think Edinburgh completely dominated Munster. But it was those moments in the key moments of the game, whether it was sort of the line at our own 5 meter line that led to an overthrow and they scored the try, or that line out at the end of the game where they stole the ball, that Munster just seemed to have the edge in. And I think actually, was it Lewis Crosby who came on for Jamie Ritchie?
Luke Carmichael.
It was a Carmichael. Actually played relatively well, but the big stat where Munster did dominate was in turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, I as I said, I was out last week and only managed to catch the last 20 minutes of it, but it seemed as if when Edinburgh were sort of trying to bridge that gap when it was quite close before Hanrahan got that last penalty, that was when it was knockout rugby and they weren't quite sure of themselves. They hadn't been in that position before and they made a lot of errors in terms of, I think Cornell Dupree came on, dropped pretty simple balls.
Yeah.
And just those sort of mistakes, I think it was because they weren't playing territory at the time and they just weren't quite sure how to strategically manage that match because it's a position they hadn't been in before.
Yeah, I mean, so they went in, I think they were 7-6 down at half time, and then it went out to 17-6 to Munster with about 25 minutes left. And at that point, I thought it was completely game over. And I think the fact that they were able to get back into the game and make it such a tight contest says a lot about those players on the pitch. And
says a lot about Nathan Fowles.
I was just about to say, that the 25-minute performance that Nathan Fowles put in was genuinely of like Aaron Smith quality. Like, I'm not even joking. His kicking was pinpoint accurate. He was everywhere. Like, genuinely world-class night. And I've said it, I think he's quality.
You've not said that. I've literally never said that.
But, you know, he's obviously taken an absolute hammering and then come in probably the biggest game of his entire life.
Fair play.
Been an absolute man of the match performance for the time he's been on the pitch. I think...
Maybe yeah. Corkers has told him, hey, Hidalgo Klein's heading out next year. We're keeping you on. You've got to make that jersey your own.
Yeah.
You try and make me not sign a new person. I still hope he does, but... You know, if he's reacted that way, that's great.
I thought the other thing was that before the match, Cockerell said, if we're in it with 20 minutes to go, we'll win it. And I still couldn't quite believe it, but I have so much faith in Cockerell at the moment and his sort of belligerence that at that point I was thinking, yeah, we're going to do this. And when they kicked to the corner,
it was amazing.
That penalty, I was thinking they're just going to rumble their way over and it's going to be incredible, but... Yeah, wasn't to be.
Not quite to be, but still, I mean, where we were sat at the beginning of the season to now, that is still an incredible, like, huge strides forward for this Edinburgh team. And I think just personally excited to see what comes next year.
Absolutely. You look at some of the signings they've got long term now, in terms of Van der Merwe and Kinghorn, both on 3 and 2 year deals, both absolutely electric on Saturday.
Yeah.
Just, we know that Edinburgh pack can handle themselves. But with those two, and hopefully Mark Bennett kind of getting a bit of his edge back.
I think the benefit of, we'll get onto the Scotland squad later, I think the benefit of Bennett not being in that is that he came back from injury last year. He's not had a full pre-season probably for a couple of years. You think you give him the summer off and a full pre-season with an opportunity of a World Cup coming up.
Yeah.
You hope we get Mark Bennett back at his 2015 levels. And we're forgetting Scotland captain, the incumbent, John Barkley coming to join as well.
Matt Scott, Simon Hickey. I think that's one of the issues, that with the amount of possession Edinburgh had, they just couldn't break through, and hope with a bit more penetration. There was a good interview with Cockerell and the Scotsman at the weekend, and he was making the point that sort of most of the guys in the team are like 27, 28.
Yeah.
Even Stuart McAnally, who's one of the senior players, is 27, maybe 28 now.
Yeah, 28.
But still young. These guys are sort of getting into their prime. And then he also said, the reality is this squad is £3 million away from being a squad that can, like, win trophies. I was like, get the checkbook out, give them the cash. How good would that be?
Start doing a crowdfunder.
Yeah, it's the Kickstarter.
Patron account or whatever it's called.
Let's get Patreon. Of those going. Shall we move on? I think we'll come back. We'll do an end of season sort of wrap up and we can go really into the deep dive of where Edinburgh need to improve and how they've done so well this year. I think we should now move on to our second issue, which is the Super Six. And we're going to ask what is next for the Super Six. And we're going to kick that off with an interview with Kenny Hamilton, who is the chairman of Glasgow Hawks, who, as I'm sure you will have known, did not win a franchise within the Super Six and have asked for a formal investigation to be launched into the process. Here's our interview with Kenny Hamilton.
Hello there.
Hi, Kenny. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Yes, it's Matt from the Thistle here.
Yeah.
I'm with my mate Alan as well, who's another one of the hosts here.
Hi, Kenny.
Sure. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Good.
Thanks very much for taking the time to speak with us. Really, really appreciate it. So I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Chairman of Glasgow Hawks, Kenny Hamilton. Kenny, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks,
man. Thanks very much for taking the time to speak with us. Firstly, congratulations on Glasgow Hawks securing their Prem 1 status for next year. How are you feeling after that match?
Well, particularly proud of the players' performance on Saturday. I thought they were exceptional. I felt a wee bit sorry for Jed, who had obviously had a tremendous run all season, but came up against a very determined Hawks side who really just did not give them the opportunity to play. I mean, closed them down very effectively, and their own enterprise with the ball was pretty entertaining at times.
How have you found the Premiership season in general this year?
It's been a really frustrating season for us, Matt. We had a number of factors that have impacted on us this year. These aren't excuses. These are just, you know, statements of fact. I mean, we lost a fair number of players over the last season who moved on to pro contracts. So we were in a bit of a rebuild situation. We were going reasonably well early season, but had to contend with a lack of a home pitch. Unfortunately, the Anniesland pitch, which we use, had a giant sinkhole, and that rendered it unusable for the entire season. So we were a bit itinerant. It's kind of packing the caravan up on a fortnightly basis and moving to different grounds around Glasgow, which really didn't help us, has to be said.
And how long have you been involved with Glasgow Hawks, and what sort of roles have you fulfilled within that?
I've been involved with Hawks since its inception.
Right.
I came from the GHK end of the partnership with Glasgow Accies to create Glasgow Hawks 21 years ago. I'm in my second spell as president. I've had a couple of spells as director of rugby. I've had a variety of roles throughout. So, yeah, I've been heavily involved throughout the lifetime of the organisation.
Great. And obviously it's the question on everyone's lips at the moment, but with Super Six sort of doing the rounds at the moment and the decisions coming out, what was your initial reaction to the news that your club hadn't been successful in its application?
Obviously, we were extremely disappointed. We felt as though we had put together a very strong partnership. It was, I mean, this wasn't about quite simply Hawks continuing as is. This was about trying to refresh the organisation and almost relaunch it along the lines of its original objectives, which was very much about, you know, establishing a performance platform for the best rugby players in the Glasgow area. And we were doing that with a very strong partnership that involved Glasgow University, Strathclyde University, both universities being very heavily committed to contributing significant support in terms of strength and conditioning, analysis, and so on, sports science. The Royal Navy were also part of the partnership. They're expanding forces in the Fast Lane area, looking for a development pathway within their own rugby structures. And three of the Glasgow rugby clubs, our founding clubs, GHK and Accies, but add to that West of Scotland. And the hope was that in time, we would add additional Glasgow rugby clubs to that partnership, because I think we want to see it as something that Glasgow rugby generally has a share in and an interest in.
And speaking to the SRU, what were sort of the major failings of the bid in their eyes?
To be fair, to Mark Dodson and Scottish Rugby, it was very much a brief summary on the day of the announcement. We do have the opportunity this coming Thursday morning to get a more detailed feedback, and Mark is being good enough to come through to Glasgow and meet with representatives of the full partnership and give us that feedback. I think he basically suggested three headings. One was issues with the pitch, our intention being to relocate to Burnbrae and to develop artificial surface on the main pitch at West of Scotland. The second heading was our commercial plan was, I think the phrase was, not as advanced as some of the others. Again, that's obviously open to interpretation.
So yeah, really, sure. Yeah.
And the third was governance. And that's a kind of, well, you know, how long's a piece of string? The response at this stage. But as I say, making light of those, Mark has agreed to give us more detailed feedback on Thursday morning, and we look forward to that.
How have you found the application process in general since sort of the Agenda 3 proposal was put to the clubs?
Well, the application process seemed to be relatively open in that we had three separate meetings with representatives of Scottish Rugby ahead of the formal presentation to the assessment panel. And throughout those discussions, we obviously flagged up our proposal in terms of the pitch and the assistance that we would need in terms of advancing applications for funding to secure that investment. We also laid out our financial proposals in terms of a starting position, at least in terms of the Super Six franchise, with the expectation that it would grow and develop as we settled into it. But at this stage, it's pretty unknown just how valuable is Super Six going to be. Is it going to capture the imagination of the Scottish rugby public or not? I mean, as I say, those discussions all seem to be extremely positive. And to be perfectly honest, I suppose part of our frustration and our disappointment is if there were any fundamental difficulties or weaknesses with our proposal, would those not have been flagged up in advance in a way that we could address them prior to going through the assessment panel process? But that didn't seem to be the case. It seems to me that strategically that Scottish rugby would desperately want to have a franchise in Glasgow, which need not necessarily have been Glasgow Hawks. To be perfectly honest, if I'd been responsible for implementing this strategy, I would have looked at, well, the biggest growth node in Scotland at the moment in terms of Scottish rugby is Glasgow. That's clearly reflected in attendance at Warriors games, but also in the activity of Glasgow rugby clubs. There are more rugby players in Glasgow than any other district in Scotland. If it's not going to be Hawks, then I would have gone out and get somebody else to run a franchise. If we were considered not up to the job or inadequate in some way, then it just seems to me to be more than just unfortunate, but actually just a bit of an insult to the city, to be perfectly honest, not to have a franchise in Glasgow. It also seems to me that there's a huge missed opportunity commercially, because if you're going to try and sell television rights, advertising, sponsorship or whatever on the back of Super Six, the fact you exclude the conurbation of Glasgow, which is the biggest market in Scotland, who's going to bid into it? Who's actually going to invest in that kind of product which omits the largest market?
Sure. Do you think the SRU saw the air bid as giving them the foothold in that sort of, Glasgow Westish area?
Sure. But it's, air and obviously it's the county town of Ayrshire. Ayrshire's not Glasgow. it's kind of stating the obvious, but there's a distinct difference in terms of market and culture and so on. So if that's the hope, then I think it's a bit of a naive one.
It's probably like saying Melrose is Edinburgh, to be honest. So what's the next steps for you with this process?
Well, as I say, meeting on Thursday morning with Mark Dodson, and he's going to talk us through the process in terms of perhaps strengthening our position for maybe future bids. That's a difficult one, to be honest. But we obviously have a concern about the change of the grip rules, which seemed to take place partly through the process. It seemed to us quite clear that, that when the guidance was set out, that there would be a minimum of one and a maximum of two from any of the four regions in Scotland.
Yeah.
And strangely, that seems to have been abandoned in favour of three franchise awards in Edinburgh. Now, good clubs, all of them. I don't have a difficulty with any of the organisations that have been successful.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's just that, that, again, in terms of the strategy and in terms of actually thinking our way through the implementation of this, is that the right way to go? I mean, frankly, it's not. I would have thought that the impact of three franchise awards in Edinburgh means that the competition for players, the competition for sponsorship, and the competition for advertising and so on is going to be much more intense in Edinburgh, which will artificially inflate that market. I mean, it's going to become probably more expensive to recruit players and so on. It is fraught with difficulty, whereas the kind of reasonably even-handed proposal of a maximum of two in any one district seemed to me to be the right one. Just saying that the partners, the universities, the Navy, and the clubs are all saying that they think the model that we have put together is absolutely right, and they are wholly committed to it,
yeah,
and want to follow it through. So that's giving us a bit of a dilemma, and certainly there's a lot of discussion and a lot of consideration that we now need to undertake and establish what Hawks will now be, what our objectives will be, and how we try and implement those.
Absolutely. One last question before you have to go. You've obviously got another season in the Premiership, yep, next year. You've got a good young coach in sort of Finlay Gillies. What's the plan for the summer, and how do you see sort of next season going?
We've started looking at that's kind of player recruitment. We've started to think about a program. We've got pre-season fixtures penciled in, one against Edinburgh Aggies in late August. Our planning is underway, Matt, but it's, you know, obviously we're not taking anything for granted at this stage. There are some pretty big decisions that we need to make over the next few weeks, but that will be informed initially by our discussions on Thursday morning with Scottish Rugby.
Yeah,
of course. Well, Kenny, thanks so much for that. It was a really interesting discussion, giving us a lot to think about. Thanks once again, and good luck with Thursday and the rest of the process.
Thanks very much indeed.
Well, that was really interesting. It's great to hear, you know, firsthand from someone who's been involved in the overall process. I think the most interesting point, as he was saying, is that looking back at the original application process, the SRU did explicitly say that there would only be one or no more than two successful bids from each region.
Yeah.
And that seems to really, you know, Glasgow Hawks have looked back on that and said, well, this doesn't make any sense. Now, Alan, you did break that news initially.
I put it up on Twitter, but sadly I wasn't the one to dig into the franchise document. I think another Scottish Poirot sent us a screenshot of the original franchise document. And
how bad is the chat on this tonight?
We're really bad tonight. Come on, let's get it over and done with. And then
obviously we shared it on Twitter, and within about sort of 3 or 4 hours, the offside line, who have been, to be fair, absolutely all over this, had already put sort of an article together outlining a lot of sort of the key issues and the fact that they had explicitly stated, and it wasn't clear that they had communicated to the teams that this had changed.
Yeah.
And from speaking to obviously Kenny there, and from what's come out in the media, it's not been apparent that they ever did communicate that that'd been changed as a specific, I can't remember what the word is, but
yeah, a clause or whatever.
Clause and point. But
yeah, it just seems either they've sort of had an inkling of the bids that are coming in and have already made a decision and said, we're going to have to change things, or it just looks pretty budget that they've just been sort of changing their mind. It looks a bit amateurish.
Yeah, I think it's difficult because they were probably looking at it and maybe thinking that Hawks bid doesn't stack up in all the areas that they wanted it to.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're thinking, this is a big thing for us. We need it to succeed. We've got to back things that we think are actually going to have the best opportunity to. And maybe, you know, maybe there could have been something in consultation where they went back to Hawks and said, listen, there's a bit of concern here. You need to sort of raise this in order to try and get that Glasgow franchise. I've got no idea, but it does seem that there was maybe a miscommunication.
I guess just the lack of transparency in that point could sort of invalidate the whole process, because what else hasn't been clear?
Wow. Is this our Watergate? What,
you mean like legally?
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, the whole thing at the start was that it was going to be a sort of super transparent process. And
was that the whole thing at the start?
Well, I think you made that up.
They were pretty clear on that. And I guess within about a day, there's already sort of issues being getting brought up. And maybe it's just more an issue to do with how the sort of SOU and the club sort of work together. But it's not a great start to Super Six.
It's not a great start to the Super Six, but they are in, as Kenny was saying, a consultation process with all the clubs that did and did not get selected. So we'll see what comes out the other end of that.
And we're going to try and get the other side of the the outcome, hopefully next week.
It would be great. So if you are listening from one of the six successful clubs, get in touch. We'd love to chat to you about the plans and moving ahead with what we hope is going to be a successful initiative. Okay, so issue number 3.
A quiz.
Sorry.
I need people to stay on for my quiz,
the
right?
Quiz.
Jesus Christ.
Right, very quickly, let's do the quiz.
I also think this episode is going very well, so
okay.
Maybe that's just me.
Go on then.
Right, we're going to go two things. One is to celebrate Stuart McInally's captaincy, we're going to have a few questions on the man himself. And also, we're going to have a look at when Scotland once played Canada in 2002 on their North American tour.
Oh my God.
And lost.
Oh my word.
The one loss they've had to Canada and never lost to the USA. Right, Stuart McInally, what is his nickname?
Okay.
Named after a 1980s anti-hero.
Very, very good. I think we probably know that.
Stuart McInally has played for 2 professional clubs in his lifetime. What is the non-Edinburgh club?
Come here, you're his best mate from school.
I did go to school with him. I can't remember where he went, though, when he was transitioning to hooker.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, indeed.
Stuart McInally got his initial contract in 2010. How many caps does he have for Edinburgh since 2010? And how many tries has he scored? We're going to give 5 points for an exact answer on either.
Okay, I know roughly caps and how many tries. How many tries? So we'll go for that. Fine. Okay. Is that the Stuart McInally section done?
That is the Stuart McInally. I mean, it was a quick
quite like that.
It was a quick quiz, I'm not going to lie.
It was quite good.
So, Scotland played Canada 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely, they played that game in 2014.
Yeah, where Vern Carter's first tour.
Where we should have lost.
Where we literally were losing with 10 minutes to go, and it was a Laidlaw penalty that won us us the game.
That guy got red carded for the elbow charge. Yeah.
But in 2002... we lost to Canada for the only time in Scotland rugby history.
Oh, my God.
But
But
they were in an okay state in 2002, though. Coming to 2003,
come off it.
We were really bad in 2003, though.
That is true. That should be fair. Four Scotland players scored points that day.
Four.
Four Scotland players. And they're all absolute legends of Scotland rugby. There's a scrum half. There's a fullback. There's a number eight. And there's an inside centre. And those four players were the only players to score points for Scotland that day.
Okay.
Who were those four players?
Fine.
And what do you think the score was?
Oh, God. So we had four scorers.
Those point scorers include tries and conversions and penalties.
Okay.
Tough.
It's tough.
It's tough at the top.
Deal with it.
I'm completely guessing. I've got three names down, though.
I'm looking forward to your answers.
I'll think of a fourth.
Right. Who is our 1980s anti-hero that Stuart McInerney was named after?
That would be Rambo.
It is Rambo.
Correct. Not Terminator, as some of you might have thought.
Alan, let's keep this show on the road, please. You're not going to be invited back at this rate. Come on.
Who was the other professional team that Rambo played for? Dave?
Bristol.
Yes, Bristol's not correct. Bristol.
It's when Andy Robinson was still there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
I thought that.
How many Edinburgh caps has Rambo accumulated since 2010?
You think he'd have a lot, but I don't think he has 100. So I'm going to go below. I'm going to go 80.
What are you going for, Dave?
He is an Edinburgh Rugby Centurion.
Is he?
He got it this year, so maybe 110?
Oh, mate, 115.
Ah, damn.
Point to Dave, though, 3-2.
I was watching, there was a thing that Edinburgh Rugby did recently about centurions in like conjunction with the whiskey, and he wasn't on it. It was Tom Brown, Hidalgo Klein, and Ross Ford.
Mate, when you're Scotland Rugby
and Ryan Grant.
Getting man of the match, you're too big time for that. Ross Ford, and go and do the adverts.
And he's got a pilot, and he's got a pilot's license.
That could have been another good question.
That could have been.
Oh, well.
Does what he wants.
Tries.
I had 10.
7.
14. Dave 14. Gets a 4-2 win.
Oh, I'm very happy with that.
I don't think it's going to get me through 2002 in Canada.
Right. What was the score between Scotland and Canada in 2002 in Vancouver? Dave, what you got?
21-17.
24-21.
You're quite close, Matt. It's 26-23.
Yeah.
Matt takes a point.
So, 4-3.
It's 4-3. Dave, give me your four players.
Patterson, Laney, Taylor, and the scrum half. 2002. Oh, God, I'm really struggling. I'm having a bit of a brain.
Think about all the great scrum halves of that era.
There's been a lot of
It was like the only position we were good at.
Redpath?
No. But you got 3 out of 4.
Did I get 3?
Did you?
Oh, yes.
Who did you have?
I had Patterson.
Yeah.
Taylor.
Yeah.
Blair.
Yeah.
Henderson.
3 out of 4 as well. Mike Blair.
I was going to
the pens.
I was going to go for Blair. I'm so upset about that.
So Patterson was wrong then.
So Patterson was correct.
So yeah.
Simon Taylor was correct.
Yeah.
Mike Blair was correct. And the chainsaw.
Brendan Laney.
Wait, so the chainsaw was playing centre?
Yeah, he was playing inside centre.
He played most of his rugby for Scotland at 12.
I thought he played like fullback and wing.
No.
I made that up.
So yeah,
they are all absolute legends.
Oh, I mean, yeah, absolute legends.
Genuine legends.
And still lost to Canada.
I can't believe I said I didn't say Mike Blair. I should have gone with my gut,
mate.
I thought I was going to win, and I actually had put Redpath, and I changed it to. But you won, so well done.
I'm actually delighted with that.
7-6 win.
That is great. That is sending me into issue number 3 with a spring in my step. But can somebody please tell me who the hell is James Lang?
Not me.
I told you. James Lang, to be fair, I had seen him play, well, I'd seen highlights of him playing. No, I watched a full game of Wasps against Harlequins in the Champions Cup this season. And it was kind of a dead rubber for Harlequins, but Wasps needed to win to go through. And Harlequins came back from being a few points down and won it. And he was really, really good. playing at 10 at the time. And I did think his name's James Lang. Presumably, I knew he was sort of playing in England, but presumably he's got some Scottish blood. And I looked it up, but he's played a lot of his rugby sort of age group stuff Wales.
Did you get your commission from the Scottish Qualified Programme? Hey, I should have. You should have called that in.
You'd get about £10.
So this is obviously, as part of the news, James Lang is probably the one unknown quantity, fully unknown quantity named in Gregor Townsend's squad to play Canada, the USA and Argentina this summer. Any other standout issues for you lads? I thought it was a decent and quite interesting looking squad.
What are your thoughts on Ramble as captain?
Well deserved.
Well deserved.
I think if you're gonna leave Barkley out, which you need to manage him at his age, yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That was interesting because obviously you've got Fraser Brown, who before his injury probably was ahead of Ramble. I thought they would give it to someone like Grant Gilchrist, who has really obviously is seen as a leader within Edinburgh and previously within the Scotland setup, and is kind of a slightly kind of, well, actually he's probably about the same age as Ramble, but a slightly older head. But no, I completely agree. I think if there's one guy this year who probably has really taken that step up and has stood out in almost every game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it'd be good to see, and I think already he sort of comes across quite well in interviews.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the names in that forward pack, he is going to be one of the more senior sort of heads, certainly under Townsend. There's a lot of youngsters coming through that are only going to have a handful of caps when they play in the summer. So I think Ramble actually is the correct choice if you want to have someone in the pack there. Yeah,
still a relatively strong pack, even with some of the people that they've left behind. Mm. Obviously, Richie Gray is still getting chucked in, and that front row you can straight away have sort of Bergen, McAnally, Dell. Gives you a real good.
Dell looked pretty decent when he came on from Edinburgh. Yeah.
Dell and Nell both came on and
made a massive impact.
Really strong in the scrum.
And even some of the someone like Xander Ferguson, who you might have said was a bit green like a year or two ago,
yes,
has got decent experience, so you put him on the bench, you're not too worried about bringing him on.
Start Bergen ahead of Ferguson at the moment?
I think so. I hope that wider point of the tour that they do, you know, treat it as a development tour, but still play their best 15 because there's still matches that you need to win. And sending like a slightly weaker squad to particularly Argentina is particularly with the Jaguar is doing well at the moment. You know, it's no place to be blooding green players.
No, but I mean Canada are terrible.
Yeah, but. You know, the last time we played, we almost lost to them, and it was a pretty dodgy red card that swung us the game. So,
I think we'll see a Scotland squad that are really going out there to try and win all three. I think these youngsters are playing, yes, for this their position on this tour, but every game now has got to be seen through the lens of Japan 2019.
Yes.
Every opportunity in front of Gregor Townsend is about World Cup selection. So if you look at players, you know, like youngsters like Murray McCallum or guys coming in,
George Horn,
and even to a certain extent, James Lang. Like these guys coming in, like James Lang's made a decision to come over at this stage.
That's interesting. I'm sure that Wales were knocking on his door, and maybe even England as well.
You would have thought about it, and now he's going to be. If he gets blooded,
England need players there. If he gets,
you'd probably back him if him and Hastings are your number one and two actual tens on this tour. Lang's gonna get a Scotland cap this summer.
Yeah. Should we talk about the Lions that have been, or the players that have been rested?
Yeah.
Not just the Lions, and who's gonna fill in their space? So, Johnny Gray, who do you think is gonna take that? Is that gonna be
Carmichael?
Richie Gray coming back in?
As in,
I mean, starting.
Yeah.
What, Richie Gray coming straight back from?
Yeah, Richie Gray, Grant Gilchrist. I was actually having a wee look. Richie Gray's been starting for Toulouse.
Toulouse, do you think? He's got a chance to.
He fell a little bit from grace in the Six Nations. Not massively, but I think Gilchrist stepped up massively in the Six Nations.
Yeah.
And I think Toulouse took a little bit of a step
back.
No,
I think Gilchrist is definitely the one.
And I think you probably won. I think your aim is probably to have Richie Gray either starting or on the bench of your top Scotland 23 when we come to that first game in Japan.
Tim Swinson keeps hanging on. I don't quite get it.
Offer something a little bit different, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose. And then
I feel like it's a big tour for Richie Gray.
You kind of missed out on the Six Nations, kind of being out in Toulouse. You just sort of naturally kind of slip away from the conversation.
In Toulouse have been in the Challenge Cup this year as well. They're not even playing Champions Cup rugby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what do you think about, obviously, Finn Russell being rested? That's an interesting one, I think, because as I think the press release said that Hastings and Lang are the 10s.
They're the 10s. So I think first game, unless Lang's absolutely killing it, you probably got to give that jersey to Hastings.
But do you not think Pete Horn's going to be the one to start that?
You think?
I think
who are they playing first? Canada?
I think in all three games, it's risky to play Adam Hastings or James Lang, who both of them, it's their first season in professional rugby, really.
Yeah.
And both of them have been...
But fine. Devil's advocate, though, is this not the absolutely perfect time to blood them, though?
There is no way that Adam Hastings or James Lang are going to be starring ahead of Pete Horn at 10 in the World Cup.
I don't think it's the right time. I think they're still really young. They've got plenty of time to develop. Put them on the bench, bring them on.
I feel like you give Hastings and Lang both a bench spot for the Canada and the US.
Yeah,
And then have one of them on the bench for the Argentina.
Mm. Alan, since you have still not paid me for Edinburgh beating Glasgow, how about we double down that Adam Hastings will start the first summer tour game at 10?
Double down.
Double or nothing.
Ooh.
I mean that.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I'm taking it. We're shaking on that. I'm loving that. I think they'll back him.
Interesting. And then I suppose the other one is Seymour being rested.
I think wing is probably our weakest position.
I was just thinking that presumably is Taylor being taken as a wing?
Well, it feels like Lee Jones and Brian McGuigan are the only two real wingers.
Yeah.
And then Chris Harris and Duncan Taylor are centres who are able to play wing.
And Blair Kinghorn, I suppose.
Yes.
If they do decide to start Hogg, maybe against Argentina.
Yeah.
Start Hogg and have Kinghorn on one wing.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So what would be your starting 15 for that first game? Or what is the best 15 that you can make out of that squad? Front row?
I think what we said.
Bergen, Rambo and
Dell. Full Edinburgh front three.
Yeah, probably.
Lovely to see. In the boiler room?
Gilchrist and Gray.
It depends how fit Gray is. If not, then Gilchrist and Toulouse I'd be pretty happy with.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then you look at the huge amounts of quality there is there's quite a lot of quality in the back row.
There isn't that much quality in the back row.
Yeah, I started saying it. I started saying it, then I revised it down.
It's super fresh without Barkley, Watson, or Wilson.
So what you...
Essentially, you're starting three.
Luke Hamilton, Denton, and Ferguson?
I play Denton. I think you need more of a kind of a Jamie Ritchie type.
I think Richie will get the spot ahead of Matt Ferguson.
Yeah,
probably just about.
And then you're going to have, possibly Luke Hamilton. Maybe Bradbury, if you wanted another sort of carrying option.
You've got to be worried about...
That's not that great.
You've got to be worried about that back row, especially against Argentina.
Yeah.
Real big, powerful ball carriers.
Yeah.
I think the way Bradbury's been playing the back end of this season, he's got to be a shoe-in starter.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe Luke Hamilton if you just want a dog who's going to hit rucks.
Yeah.
I don't know, and do the sort of non-flashy stuff.
Interesting to see. Behind the scrum, we're going to give George Horn start at 9.
Horn Brothers, 9-10.
Horn Brothers at 9-10?
Yeah.
Apart from that time when Hastings starts.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind seeing Ali Price get a bit of game time and let him, I don't know, rediscover a bit of form because he just seems to have gone so far down the pecking order. And last year, he was playing so well.
I mean, are we really actually... I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Are we really advocating that George Horn starts ahead of Ali Price for Scotland?
I am. For that first game...
On form.
George Horn is someone who I think... your point about Hastings, I think, is probably more valid for someone like Horn, with the potential where you might not start him against Argentina. But it feels like he definitely has to get a start.
Yeah.
Centres are relatively weak.
Well,
strength.
You could play Dunbar and Taylor.
Oh yeah,
that's pretty good.
Dunbar and Taylor's class.
It'd just be interesting to see how Taylor is. It's probably good for him that he's kind of got a bit of a Saracens running.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's going to get a bit more game time before the season because he's literally not played at all.
He's barely played.
And if not, then I presume Dunbar is going to be your stuck on 12. You still got Nick Grigg at 13 as well.
Chris Harris, mate.
somehow Chris. Still in the squad.
Mate, he's still getting game time for the next 3 weeks.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I kind of had forgotten that he was still, he was starting in the match against Leicester, and Newcastle won to get into the top four. So
he's gone. He's gone back after some patchy international appearances, and you know, helped Newcastle right to the playoffs of the Premiership.
And
so
then back three. Obviously you'd be Hogg starting if he was definitely selected.
I can't see him playing either of the Canada
So let's maybe go to the Argentina game.
Have they indicated what games he's rested for? Or have they just said he's not doing the full tour?
I think you're most likely to see Kinghorn, McGuigan and Lee Jones.
Yep. And and if Hogg plays, then you probably put Kinghorn and McGuigan or McGuigan.
Yeah,
and Jones
exactly.
On the wings.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Which is pretty decent.
It's pretty good.
For a development squad with an absolute shed load of people not available due to injury or being rested, I think it's actually a pretty decent decent squad and sort of proves the point that Scotland are beginning to have a little bit more of that sort of strength and depth.
Yeah.
Was John Hardy left out for injury?
Injury, yeah.
Injury.
Was he?
Yeah. Okay. He would have been a good guy to take, I think. Bit of experience, bit of dog.
He would have been really good.
Yeah.
I hope he gets a bit more game time in the autumn internationals, because I feel like he's still got a part to play for.
We don't know where he's going yet, do we?
No, him and Luke Hamilton.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, both neither have been announced
where they're going to go. Both, I think, could do a very good job at Glasgow if they were so inclined.
Yeah, yeah.
Those who were unavailable through injury at the bottom of the press release were Edinburgh's Luke Crosby, young lad.
Yeah,
interesting to see that he's been
good season.
Included.
Two good seasons.
Included for selection. John Hardy back. Hugh Jones wrist surgery is scheduled. Willem Nel, a knee assessment, stroke rehabilitation, and Hamish Watson's shoulder.
Nel's in rehab.
Nel's in rehab. He's really fallen off the wagon, poor lad. There we go. So we will see how we get on there, and we will be back next week to preview Glasgow's
semi-final.
Yeah, Scarlets.
Friday Night Lights. How exciting is that?
Didn't talk about the Scarlets game. They looked good.
Yeah. The Cheetahs are quite bad, though.
They're not that bad.
They're okay. And I just can't see a semi-final being that kind of game. Although Scarlets won their two knockout games last
year. Yeah.
Really high scoring affairs.
Much prefer to play Munster than Scarlets.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Friday Night Lights at Scotstoun, though. That is going to be an absolute banger.
That'll be good.
Sweet. Okay, let's wrap it up there. Thanks a lot for joining us, guys. Chat to us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod. Join us on Instagram at Thistle_Rugby_Pod, please send us an email, thistlerugby@gmail.com, and get onto iTunes and leave us a review. And we will be back next week. Thanks a lot, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.